If you are 5 to 9, or I'm not sure of VBS age, if you're a kid, you're allowed to go over there to VBS. We have 40 or 50 people over there with adult workers over there leading and guiding them as they do the Boomerang Express. And so pray that they're doing great over there. I asked Shannon, our children's director, this week how everything was going. She said it was going great. So continue to pray for those children over there. Take your copy of God's Word. Get ready to go today. I pray that you're getting my letter. If you're not getting my letter every week, let Heather know, or Stacy, or Shannon. Don't tell me, because I don't know how to get you my letter. But get one of these technical type people, and they'll figure out how to get you on that list. But I hope that you have a copy of God's Word today and that you're ready to go. I got a great word from God this week, and I'm excited to share it with you today. The title is Anticipating Our Future, Along with Embracing Our Mission. I think this way in my life, as I anticipate our future as a church and as a family, and also as a person. We all think like this, and then we also want to embrace our mission. And I figured out through reading Haggai that we need to learn exactly what our mission is. And so today I close Haggai, and I hate to, I love the book. But today we're going to close Haggai because at the end of this service we're going to run out of scriptures in Haggai to read. So it's the end of the road for Haggai as this goes. Excited about next week to bring you the secret to having God's hand on your family and people. In the world today, we need God's hand on our families. And all the people said, that's right. Bow with me, let's pray. Father, be with us today as we anticipate our future. And Lord, we look to you to embrace our mission. Father, I pray that today nobody would leave here unchanged, but they would leave here changed in a supernatural way for God and from God. I pray that someone here today, and many, would come to know Christ and embrace Him as their Lord and Savior and surrender all to Him. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we look at Haggai, I want to ask you before we get into the Scripture some questions. And I pray that this is not a time where, you know, you're just going, yeah, hurry up, get to the chase. But I want you to think in your own life as I ask these questions. Don't answer me out loud, but think in your own mind where you're at. A couple questions I've asked myself as I anticipate my future and I embrace my mission is, what am I giving myself to? What am I giving myself to? I ask you, what are you giving yourself to? Let me go a little deeper than that. Do you ever ask yourself questions like that? In other words, where is your time and your energy and all your resources go? Where are they going, your time and energy and resources? In seminary this semester, I've been challenged through the professor to keep track on a daily basis, hourly, minutes, even down to the minute, of everything I do on a journal. Has anybody ever done that? It's incredible. I encourage you to do that. Take a journal and write down everything you do from the time you get up and brush your teeth, you know, how long it took you to drive to work, or you know, whatever. I mean, keep as detailed as you can on your journal. You'll be amazed at where your time, energy, and yes, your resources go. Another question, what are you investing your life in? Do you ever ask yourself to give your life to something bigger than yourself? Do you here today want to be a part of something great? I know I do. And I know that God is great and that's who we need to attach ourselves to. See, I've studied and I believe that our culture thinks that, it's funny we have these boxes. Our culture thinks like a box. And as our culture goes today, we think inside this box. And everything we do, we put ourselves at the center of this box. And so everything with time, energy, and giving must first come through us in the center and then go out. I mean it like this. Who in here today, everybody go ahead and grab it. Some of you are on it. Look at your calendar. Most of us today have a calendar on our side. I left mine in my briefcase. We have these calendars that, oh, I've got a meeting here, a time to do here, or here, 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 here. I'll fit you in here. Or we say our calendar's full and you can't get on that. In other words, do you have any appointments with God on your calendar? How do we give ourselves to something great? Well, it's got to be through God. I want to ask you a couple other questions as we close Haggai, and I summarize for you today. What do you think about when you tithe? What do you think about when you go to your wife or your husband or whatever your situation is, and you say, hey, honey, or sweetie, or whatever you want to call her. I call my wife sweetie. It makes her mad, so I call her that. Hey, sweetie, you got the checkbook? In other words, as we give our tithe, what do you think about? I think about giving all I can to God and giving my best to God because I know God takes care of me. Why? God truly wants our best. And that's what Haggai is in summary. Let's even go beyond this thinking and imagine, if you will, with me for a minute, and even hope with me for a minute, things that are bigger than yourself. And that's where Haggai leads us today. So let's look at Haggai. Take your copy of God's Word. Go to Haggai chapter 2. It's right before Zechariah, right behind Zephaniah. Or go to the front and figure out what page it's on and get there. Haggai chapter 2. And I want to read today, if we can, in this brief time we have this morning, Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. And the Lord said, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth." Underline that in your Bibles, if you would, please. "I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms." Underline kingdoms. I do that on a purpose. Kingdoms. Not kingdom, not a kingdom, kingdoms, plural. "I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms and the nations." I'm doing that on purpose. I really don't talk like that. "And overthrow the chariots and their riders." I'm emphasizing plural. If my professor was here today, he'd be proud. "And the horses and their riders shall go down, every one of the sword of his brother. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord." So, as we read that, let's beckon to God. Let's ask God to call us today into something in our lives, to something great. And I believe that that's what God tells Haggai in this last scripture here for Haggai. So far, let me quickly summarize. We have learned that Haggai, and in Haggai, God wants to establish His presence with the people. And with them, He wanted to do that through the building of the temple. I told you they went out and they built the foundation and then they sat on their hands for 18 years and did nothing about God's presence in their life. And the Holy Spirit was calling them to do greater things. We have also learned about building the temple to restore God's Word in the presence of their lives. And we have talked about restoring the temple, which 1 Corinthians 3 says, our bodies that have the Holy Spirit in them is the temple. We have talked about declaring ourselves and working ourselves into the point where God is seen as in our presence. Have you gone somewhere lately and someone asks you, "Hey, are you a Christian?" They see that presence. Now, God speaks once again, as we look this morning, to Haggai and tells him to speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. I find it interesting throughout Haggai, God was always speaking to the governor of Judah. He's speaking to the priest of the Jewish nation, and he speaks to the people. And I believe that's true as well today. So please notice here that God uses a language. Hear me today. Listen. Pull up your chair and listen. God uses a language much like the language used by God when He delivered Moses from the Egyptian people, much like the language He used with Moses when He departed the Red Sea. The same language is used like He did with Moses as He fed them manna, gave them fire by night and a cloud cover by day, and led them out of Egypt. God comes to Haggai and gets their attention in much of the same language. And this language, my friends, is a language of great hope. So this message of hope was the mission that God was on. God is on a mission today, I believe, in 2009, much like this, 500 BC, to give us a message of hope. And this was God's plan, and He promises that. So as we look at this today, think about things that are even bigger and greater than you have ever imagined. God Himself wanted to give them this hope. Now, all He asked the people to do was to build a place for His presence. And as I think about that, our sermon's going to narrow down to this today. How do I show God my presence to Him? How do I give God myself? And God has shown me through the Scriptures today, through Haggai, that God sees us, number one, through worship and through our giving. And by the way, giving is worship. It is. As we anticipate our future and we look at what God has for us in our mission, We must always remember to love God and have a passion for people. And why, ask yourself this morning, would we give ourselves up into something like this? Well, God is going to win. Number one on your seminar, I call it, I guess. Number one is God is going to win. Verse 21 says, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth." Now, if you look just prior to that in chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, he says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while." Underline that, 6 through 9. "In a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations," plural, "shall come on in. I will fill the house with glory," says the Lord of hosts. He says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine," declares the Lord. "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former," says the Lord. "And in this place I will give peace," declares the Lord. Listen to me real quick. As you're sitting there in verses 6 through 9, Zerubbabel was looking and he hears from Haggai, and God says, "Yet once more, in a little while." And I believe we're sitting here today in 2009 and going, we're at the point, God, where in a little while you need to make a move. In a little while, God, you need to help us with our houses and our family and our marriages and our jobs and our nation and our government and, yes, even our military, as we saw this week, and our churches. God, we're ready for you in a little while to show up. And in verse 21, he says, "I am about to shake." That little while is here. Go with me really quick to Exodus chapter 20. I want to show you something where the Ten Commandments are that God has shown me this week. I want to show you the mindset, if I can, of the Jewish nation and the people of old, the ancient history that we study in God's Word. Exodus 20, verse 18 says, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet," that is worship, "and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled and they stood," it says, "far off." Underline that in your Bible. Moses is going to Mount Zion where God is, and there's lightning and there's noise and there's thunder and there's smoke. And the people go up to it and they go, Moses, you're on your own. And they go afar off. They go stand far off, the Bible says. And then they say to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, and that you may not sin." Verse 21, "The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." People, do you see what I'm trying to say today? It's time the kingdom church, the church that has a mission to love God and a mission to have passion for people and that their heart cries that out to God. It's time for us to come to a sense of giving and worship in our life. I believe that the churches today are afraid to worship God and afraid to give all they have to God. Now, if you go back 2 weeks or even last week in Haggai, God tells us this. And I'm just going to be blunt what He says. God says, I don't know if all of y'all have been here for my three chair thing, but God says if you're a believer and a mature believer and you say you love God and you say you honor God, you better be giving God your best, because in that you are doing and embracing your mission. God tells us today that if you're here today, and I'm just going to get real blunt, God says if you're here today and you made $1,000 last week and you don't give $100 of that, don't give any. All the finance people said, "Oh me." But that's what the Bible says. If you're not giving at least your best, don't give any. Now, this isn't all about tithing today, but this is about anticipating your future. And this is about embracing our mission. Listen, people, it's time we do this. Listen, do you understand that in these last days there will be an increase in the supernatural? I'm taking you somewhere. Stay with me. There will be an increase in the praise and worship. Listen, if we stay far off, we're going to die like the rest of the religions and the rest of the churches that don't embrace this. We're going to die. Just like they did the whole generation of Moses' people. They all died because they stood far off. Listen, if we do not come to this mountain, this time in our life where we give God our praise and we give God our best, and yeah, I'm talking about money, we are going to die. God is shaking our government. Can you say health care? God is shaking our nation. God is shaking our families. God, listen to me, is shaking our military. God is shaking, hear this, our churches. And God is shaking our marriages, our children. I am looking today as I look around here, and God has shown me this. Listen to me. I am looking into the faces of unbelief about what I'm saying today. I really am. And I understand. But most of you do not understand, get this, that there is an assistance for you that is assigned by God. And when we don't worship and we don't give, He don't show up. God has promised every one of you here today, I'll say it again because I know you don't believe this, but I'm telling you God's truth. God has said if we will show up and worship Him and not be afraid to say, praise the Lord, and God has said if we will give our best, He will give you assistance and He will show up. But if the church next door or whichever way you want to look is going to do more of that, that's where He's going to go. People, our convention, our evangelistic thrust in the nation today, evangelisms are dying. Because the churches are not worshiping God, and they're not giving, the people aren't giving their best. They're tipping God. So, going back to my illustration, if you made $1,000 this week and you give God a 20, God does not show up. That's a tip, and that makes Him mad. It's not what Billy thinks. This is what Billy's had to learn the hard way. See, there's a shaking going on. Can you feel it? Do you see it? In a little while is here today. I'll prove it. Go to Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. Let me show you some more scripture. At that time, the Bible says, His voice shook the earth. The writer of Hebrews says, but now He has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, verse 27, yet once more, indicates the removal, underline this, of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. People, your job and your finances are, and your marriages and your kids are being shaken, and your church is being shaken. And God says, I'll shake it, and then if it remains, it's of God. And too many of us say, well, if it shakes, I'm going to go get another wife or another husband. And if it shakes, I'll just write my kids off. And if the church shakes, I'll just go to another one. God is saying, no. God is saying, I'm shaking this place to see what remains. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God's going to win. This will remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Listen. Listen. Draw up in your seat. I don't know about you, but I don't think I could come to church today. Listen to me. I don't think I could come to church and see God working in supernatural ways. If I couldn't come here today and have the expectation of God doing something great in my life, I would rather go fishing. I would. And I think our churches are full today of people that just come with no expectation of supernatural, no expectation of worshiping God, and no expectation of ever giving God their best because we need that money to make it through next week. And God is saying, the mountain is here and you guys are far off. I wouldn't come to church if I couldn't do it. I expect God to do great things through us here. So God goes where people are doing that. I want to give you this. Listen to me. Listen. I come here with a heartfelt need today, and I know you do too. Listen, I come here today with needs in my life, and I know that you do too. I come here today with shortages in my life, and I know you do too, but I come here, and because of that, because I can't handle it, I come through those doors right there, hear me today, and I have the right to expect a touch from the Almighty God in a little while is here. Do not be afraid of the supernatural. Listen to me. He is a living God. People today are waking up to the fact that they can't parent the way they want to parent. People are waking up today to the fact that they can't do business like they thought they could do business. People, we can't have even a great marriage or even a great family. We can't even get our nation right, and we can't even get our church right without the power of God. And God shows up to those who worship and praise and give their best. That's where God shows up. That's where God shows up. And the shaking is here. So shake us, Lord. Shake our families, Lord. Shake our nation, Lord. Shake our government. Shake our churches. Shake us, Lord. Shake us. More scripture. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. John saw what was going to happen today. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called, the Word of God. That's Jesus. 14. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, that's me and you that are believers, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a sword, with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress on the fury and the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, his name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God is going to win, people. But you say, Billy, Pastor Billy, wait. Right now in my world, it doesn't seem like he's going to win. See, I watch the news. I encounter people on the street. And I see churches dropping like Wall Street. But it went up the other day, praise the Lord. But in a little while, God is going to win. Don't give up and don't be discouraged. He wins. Amen. Number two, God is going to keep doing what he said he would do. God is going to do what he said he would do. Quickly, go on a journey with me. Let's go back 500 years in the Word of God from Haggai. And let's go to 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 9. I want to show you what he says. See, let me give you a synopsis briefly. Hurry. David wanted to build a temple. And he said, God, I'm going to build you a temple because I need your presence in my life. And God says, David, you've messed up too much, but your son is going to build it. So David, you go be the church finance director, and you go get all the money and then let your son build this church, this temple where God dwelt. So we go back 500 years. 2 Samuel 7, verse 7 says, in all places where I have moved with all people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built for me a house of cedar? Verse 8, now therefore thus says, shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be the prince over my people Israel. I'm reading to you, if you didn't know this or not, the Davidic covenant. Verse 9, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. Underline this, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And when your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers, when you die, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish this kingdom. That is God's kingdom. Verse 15, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established. So 500 years before Haggai, all the Jewish nation knew that the lineage of David was going to be their rulers. And they watched this, and they looked at this, and they understood this. Now, let's hurry. Let's go to another Jeremiah real quick. Because the Jewish nation, after David and after Solomon, it became worse and worse and worse. They tried to restructure. And I told the staff this week, they tried to restack coffins in a different way. But a church that's dying is a church that's dying. A nation that's dying and a kingdom that's dying We can't just stack coffins. We've got to do things different. So 150 years before Haggai, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is crying out in Jeremiah 22, verses 24 through 25. Jeremiah is telling them, people, if we don't get it right, we're going to go into exile and the Babylonians are going to come wipe us out. We're going to lose our nation. And he says, As I live, declares the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet ring on my right hand, God says, yet I would tear it off and give you into the hand of those who seek your life, into the hand of those whom you are afraid, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. God said, since you won't obey me with worship, and since you won't give your best, I will take away all your joy, all your happiness, all your love, all your family, and I will destroy all of that you have until you come back to me. Doesn't that feel like now in some of our lives? But look at Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the hand. So they knew that out of the lineage of David it would come. And then God declares through Jeremiah that that ring is cut off of his hand. There is no more signet ring. There is no more promise. But then God says, you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I said I would do. Jeremiah prophesies that. I ask you today, will you be the one who gives yourself to something greater than yourself? Will you be the one that God looks to and says, I know it's rough out there, but I need you to step up and worship me and give me your best? Number three, and we'll close. This one's short. God is going to do this even if we don't live to see the results in our lifetime. God is going to do this, people. See, we know that Zerubbabel, by history, never saw this happen. We read right here, he says, in verse 23, on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring. I will make you that promised guy. So Zerubbabel's going, I'm the man. Things are going to happen around here. But all of a sudden, Zerubbabel, we find out through history, is back in exile and was killed. Was killed. God, have you called me to something else? Have you changed your mind? Did you go to plan B? Check this out real quick. Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of genealogies of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Look at verse 12. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. And then verse 16 says, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom Jesus was born and called Christ. He has called all of us today to be links in the chain. He has called all of us today to give our time and to worship. And He has called all of us today to give our best. It is time for us today to let our heart cry to God through this shaking, through the pain that we're living in, and for us to give all to God of ourselves. Today I'm going to ask you, as the piano comes, as Michelle comes to play, I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads right where you're at right now. And I want you to think about anticipating your future and embracing your mission and how you can give yourself to a greater call, which is God. I want you to think to yourself right now, am I doing that? Am I worshiping Him and am I giving Him my best? Am I worshiping Him? Am I giving Him my best? Am I worshiping Him, and am I giving Him my best? Father, we bow humbly before You today, and we ask You to cleanse our hearts. Father, we ask You to guide us and lead us. Father, we ask You to shake us, to get rid of the things that are no good, the things that are selfish, and the fear of worship and the fear of giving. Father, You promise when we give, You give back and You make sure we're okay. Help us to understand that, Lord. Because God, we want You to show up at this place to make this place a kingdom church. reaching and teaching men and women, boys and girls for Christ. So, Father, today, we humbly bow. Father, change us today. Father, I would pray that if someone's here today that they don't know for sure that they have Christ as their Lord and Savior in their heart. They're not sure that they've totally surrendered to God. God, I pray that you would give them the spirit of not fear, Lord, but the spirit of power and love today to be able to come forward and receive you unto themselves. John 1:12. Father, I pray that there's many here today that would recommit to worshiping God and giving their best. Father, I just pray that you would love us through this time of shaking. We're being shaken. Shake us, Lord, shake us. Father, we love you. Father, we need you. Father, we give to you all we have today. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you're here this